couple of things I need to warn you about myself. And that is, I really believe that every experience is a learning experience. And every learning experience can be fun if you make it. Even though it takes a lot of energy, sometimes physically and emotionally, sometimes just emotionally, but it's work and it can be fun. And that's what I'd like us to make this fun, like us to enjoy. I'm also the kind of person that I get lost where I am very easily. And so the fact that you're going to ask questions and just chime on in at any point is going to help me from not looking so bad when I get lost in my thoughts and my rambling process. So feel free at any point to challenge what I might be saying or add to from your frame of reference what I might be saying. I was instructed that this was in more in a seminar form as opposed to a lecture form. A little bit about me. I am 46 years old. For some of you who may not have noticed, I am almost 6 feet tall and I am black. And I am here this weekend with my wife and my two daughters. I'm basically from New Orleans, Louisiana. I was born there, lived there for 24 years, and was uprooted by the military and transplanted in Washington State about 2:30 in the morning, and it was raining. So you have some idea of how I felt. But I felt in love with the place. I don't think I'd live any other place at this point in my life. And I even learned how to say point so that everybody understood me rather than pint. And I learned how to say Earl as opposed to oil for everything. It was quite an education for me. And I don't say that just in a sense of humor, but when I lived in New Orleans, I have 11 brothers and sisters and umpteen thousand extended families, and we associated with a lot of different churches, and so there's a lot of activity all the time going on. And my first experience in college was at a private black college in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm surprised today that based on my transcript that they didn't pay me to leave. However, when I got to Washington State and got in University of Puget Sound, the Lord really blessed because he kind of toned my life down in terms of activities, and I was able to focus, and I ended up a four-point student. So that says a lot for Tacoma. Maybe not a whole lot for me, but a lot for Tacoma. I love the Lord with all my heart, and I love kids, and I love people. And even though I have no aspirations of being a minister, because I think their jobs are, well, I think the good ones think they need to live in poverty, and I have a problem with that. And they need to be going all the time and serving people, and I have a problem with that. So I'm sure the Lord did not call me to the pastorate. However, sometime I get like Paul and I feel kind of preachy. So I go on and on and on and on. When my time is up, somebody ring the bell. Okay. I'm also referred to myself as being a transparent person. And that by that I mean any questions that you have about me, I'm very comfortable in answering them if I want to. I'm also very comfortable in telling you. I know I answered it. No. So feel free as we go along. What did I do? That's what I get for changing the game plan. To get us started today in the topic, Your God, My Eyes, I'd like for you to close your eyes for a few minutes. And you'll somewhere along the line, you'll realize that I'm a therapist, and I do that full-time every day, so I'll try some new techniques out on you and see if they work, and then take them back and use them on people who have real problems. Okay. I'd like you to close your eyes a few moments and visualize a picture. Get a picture in your mind of your God, of who God is. In terms of his hair, his pigmentation, his eyes, his physique. And if you need to change the his to her, feel free. I may not agree with you, but I won't beat you up. Just so that I can stay on track, as you begin to kind of focus, lift your hand up so I can see that you're converted. Good. Man, I would say at the revivals, good. People coming. Okay, hands are going up all over this place. Okay. My artists on the board was a little abstract. They're very contemporary individuals. I didn't realize I was getting people of such high aesthetic value and culture that they would have something that's need to be interpreted. What about three people, volunteers? Anybody who has Coca-Cola on their shirt would be one volunteer. And anybody who have on white necklace, little round beads, is another volunteer. And then somebody who have on the blue shorts with white hair on their legs would be another volunteer. And three is probably sufficient. Would those people to stand up and one by one share what your God looks like?
I think my God reminds me of Charlton Heston. I've probably seen too many of those movies. And just this all-powerful, mighty type person.
Since I don't know who Charlton Heston is, tell me, what color is his eyes?
I don't know for sure, but probably blue.
Okay. How long is his hair?
Oh, it's, I envision it kind of long.
Shoulder length?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What color is its pigmentation? What language does he speak?
English.
Fluently?
Yes. I suppose he'd speak any language.
Charlton Heston? Okay, thank you very much. The white pearls?
God to me is a spirit, he is neither. I name him he because that's the way the scripture refers to God. But he is never, he is not sexist. He is neither man, nor female, nor male.
He's neuter.
He is neuter, okay. He is a spirit, he is around us. We have him with us in every situation of life, here on earth. And this is what we're looking for in eternity, to be with him.
Thank you. And
and pigmentation, I would say, I have not given him any pigmentation because he is a spirit.
Okay. And who's next?
White hair and legs.
Blue shorts and white hair on their legs. You don't recognize yourself? Or is that hair not white? Okay. I see two folks with blue, possibly blue. Is that black?
Oh, yeah, my shirts are black.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought you said white hair on their chest, so then
what? Oh, some other folks are looking.
To me, I saw, and this is probably based on personal experience, but I saw a white man, frail, and I hesitate to say white because his face was pretty dirty.
So you saw a dirty God?
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of in the incarnation, yeah.
Okay.
A God who was poor.
Poor?
Poor.
Okay.
And vulnerable, I guess, is a way of
okay. Okay. Thank you. Now, I'm going to pick on at least three other people, and then we're really going to get moving. Okay? And I'd like for three volunteers to stand up real quick. One from the first three chairs over here, one from the four chairs in the middle in the back, and one from the three chairs on this end. When you are witnessing to someone who's not white, how do you present God? How do you tell him that he looked? What are his features and characteristics? She's on the spot. Let's breathe with the heavy. Come on.
I'm sorry, I'm struggling with this because I don't think I've ever described a physical presence. I think I've talked to people who are not white about the love of God. And I think that I've talked about characteristics, but I've never discussed the physical presence.
Okay. Back here, forward, within this.
Love is a language that we can all relate to. Infants have a natural desire for this, and we need this our entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. And for someone who I do not know very well or just met for the first time, the only way I know to immediately share my Christianity with them is through my love for this person. Okay. And that way, I think that is the fastest way to let them know that we're children of God.
Okay.
Yeah, I envision God as an infinite, infinite being rather than a person, and I have the same problem this young lady described, that I never had to describe his physical features. Mm-hmm. So I think of him as omnipotent and infinite.
Okay. I will never be backed into the corner that I can't get out of. And that's what they've just done to me. So I'm going to pick on a couple more people. How many of us belong to a very affluent church?
A what?
Kind of outnumbered. Okay, so we'll pick on the young lady in the white. Anybody with a t-shirt with that kind of stuff on it ought to say the right thing for me. And then the fellow with the walking cane, did you raise your hand? You did. One other person who raised a hand. Would you stand up? One other that belonged to a fluent. You guys are related? You go to the same church?
Yeah.
I can't have you. I have a book on you. Were you going to stand first?
I will.
Okay. Describe whatever pictures of God you have that's displayed in your church.
Oh my. Sort of an iconoclastic new mission church. We don't have much of.
Kind of like this?
No, not even that. We've got symbols. We've got crown and cross. Congregation's called King of Glory.
But no pictures.
Images. Do we have pictures of Jesus on? Maybe Sunday school pictures.
Okay.
And they're, of course, all white. You know,
why?
They just are. I mean, our congregation's white. And
what does that mean?
It means that we live in Billings, Montana.
Marvelous. I'm going to move to Billings. Okay. That's good. Thank you.
The pictures in our church that are in the Sunday school classrooms and meeting rooms and so forth are all the German Teutonic God is kneeling on the rock, and he's got beautiful long yellow hair and white skin and a bright white light shining down on his head. You know that picture. It's famous. It's all over.
Yeah, we have that one too.
In my own home, I have a picture of Mary and Joseph as a pair of Koreans.
I think you begin to get the flavor of where I might be going today. Number one, most of us have developed an image or picture of God, and we have supported images and pictures of God that's reflective of our own background, who we are. And many times, those images and pictures of God that we have that are ours are very productive and beneficial to us, because they reinforce our faith and our very being, our commitment to God and country, you know, just all the way around. So I'm not here today to even challenge your personal image of God. My question comes, in an era where we are bombarded from every side within the Christian faith, that we need to reach out and serve and share and love, as several people share so beautifully, what Christ and God is all about. How do we do that? And I'd also like to share that sometimes our image of God becomes a stumbling block to the effectiveness of communicating with those who are ethnically differently. First thing, biblically, how many of our images compare with the scriptures? What inferences? There's no real clean description in the Bible that I've been able to find of Christ, of God. But what references to how he might look do we find in the scriptures? And how do our pictures of today compare?
He was a Jewish male, so he would be Jewish people. Jesus was a Jewish male.
Okay.
And the only verse says he had no form or comeliness that we should desire him. So I suppose that means he was rather ordinary looking.
Okay, would somebody find Isaiah 53? I think that's where we want to go. Chapter 53. Okay, keep going. Oh, were you finished?
Yeah, and he was a working class man.
Okay, so really, a lot of the pictures that we display doesn't line up with the scriptures, and doesn't seem to line up with the qualities that the scriptures define that we talk about of God. Yes, sir.
When you were talking about images of God, everybody's been very concrete with what they've seen. The more you talked, I saw nature and industry and water and farm fields. And I guess my contention is that I can't limit God to a shape. I see God everywhere if I just look. And that I think if I push that, the other thing is that I think we're all called to service and not so much chit-chat all the time of caring. And I'm going through that right now, and I'm in a black social service agency for the first time in my ministry. And I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, I've been there 3 months. I'm still uncomfortable. So I told the head social worker, I said, you know, I'm not real happy. She said, what are you not happy about? I said, I don't know if I belong here. She says, hey, you're the first one they like. You better stick her out. But I see the service angle rather than the talk.
Mm-hmm.
God works through us. If I read the Gospels right, and if I've studied them right, there's an awful lot of emphasis on service. And I'm not sure about all the talk.
Ev, who have that scripture, would you read it?
I have it here.
Okay.
He grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or calliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him.
Let's stop for a few moments. grew up like a root out of dry ground. How do you suspect that little young plant looks?
Stunted.
Lean, stunted. Brown.
Only as far as your knowledge can carry you on any given subject or animal that we have come in contact with.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. And our knowledge carries us that anything that struggled for existence like that initially is rather frail and weak. Okay. However, keep reading.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and returned not thither. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed.
Stop. When we, from our frame of experience, frame of reference, get in touch with someone who have gone successfully, gone through physical and emotional and spiritual, if I might add that without being sacrilegious in terms of Christ, those kinds of struggles successfully, or do you still see a weak, frail, insignificant, drop that one, person?
No.
What do you see?
The arm of God.
Let's not be so religious and spiritual. Come on.
What is he, you mean?
He's strong and tough.
Strong and tough. And the kind of person you want to make your king, your leader. The kind of person you... Are your husband here?
No, he's not.
The kind of person you want to marry. I didn't know what he looks like. So, and just in case he wasn't...
He had a sense of humor.
Yeah, Christ did have a sense of humor, but normally... A person who have gone through these kind of experiences is pretty firm and direct and straightforward. But all of these nice little genteel and humanistic characteristics that we attribute to Christ, you know, that a person have gone through this don't seem to have. The other thing that tends to happen, when we are witnessing to people who are different from us, who have had different life experiences, and people who are second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, or even lower class citizens on a strata than you might be, their experiences in reference to other the people on the higher levels of the strata that may not have been pleasant. When we take God from being above the angels and make him just a little lower than the angels, where who is? We are where man is. And put a human identity to God. And that human identity may be the oppressors in that person's eyes. What happens to your witnessing in your ministry? The danger when we relegate God to a human stance by pulling out our Gideon Bibles that in the very first page have the same God that we described a few minutes ago. Oh, is this him? Everything is going smooth. Is this him? You know, distance, anger, hurt, hostility. And strangely enough, many of us are not aware where that the blocks are coming up, the reference of them. I've done everything right according to the book. I've shared, I've been open and honest. But most of the time, I have shared my image, my physical image of God, something that merely reinforces me, as opposed to what several of you shared in terms of the characteristics of God. And the Bible is full of the characteristics of God. Those things that we deem positive and those things that we deem what? Because God can be rather rough at times. Very revengeful at times. And those are the things we need to be getting in touch with and sharing. Why? What does that do? It takes you out of the driving wheel. Now, I know, I'll pick on a few of the pastors that might be in the room. I know we tend to want numbers. The missionary and the witnessing group goes out, and the first question we ask them, how many got saved? How many of them came to Christ? How many of them attended Bible study? It's almost like in my field, we don't talk about quality of services. We talk about numbers. What message of Christ are we planting in people? And how conscious are we aware of the growth process and assimilation process of all of the values that we know and attributes of Christ? How long did it take for us to assimilate this awareness and come to these marvelous expressions of who Christ is? And I guess each one of these tentacles that shoots out from this marvelous sunshine, all these rays that goes out, could be an attribute of God that draws us into his presence and makes us want to love and serve him. But when we put man in there and start counting numbers, when we put man in there and say he's white or he's black, it tends to take away from the God of the universe, the all-powerful God. Now, many of us, I would dare to say, who have said that I'm really eclectic and broad in sharing my view of who God is, I would begin to challenge some of you on a personal basis. Because when we start talking about God, and it was very clear to me when I opened my mouth as soon as I got here within the first hour on Monday, and I said, God, he. And the person that was talking to me, what about God, she? Now, of course, that didn't faze me as far as God being a he. We all know that. but for the benefit of discussion. For the benefit of discussion, if that's the person that I'm trying to get to assimilate their attributes and accept the love of God, and immediately I attach the he to it, what have I done? And actually, that is not necessary. Repeatedly, on our pamphlets we give out, we have a picture. And depending on who we are, depending on where we had enough money to get the picture from, you know, because some of us are so poor, we get, if the narrative is good, we'll buy into the picture. And if the pamphlet is free and we can get abundance of them, we'll give them out. But what is the picture saying? And we all know that a picture is worth what?
1,000 words.
And that's true. Ryan in the session this morning shared some pictures. And many of us who say, that doesn't faze me, will go out and buy a jacket exactly like that. And go out and buy shoes exactly like that. The Bachers are out. What is that? What kind of shoes are those? Redenbachers. And how much they cost? No, come on. How many? I won't ask how many of you have them. You know. Average about $50. And within 18 months, I guarantee you, the studies will show that they are harmful to your feet. You know why? There'll be a new player on the market, and we're going to sell some new ones. But we said, no, that doesn't faze me, but I need good shoes for walking up at, Holden Village. You know we got to go hiking, so I need a good pair. And that commercial start ringing in here. And you end up in Nordstrom's rather than Kmart. And they tell me, and in some of these stores, the same company make the same shoe. So if you are a wise, good Christian, you would shop. But basically what I'm saying is that the picture, just like it works on you, it works on the other fellow too. And anything, Paul says, I will take off every weight that does what? So easily beset me. And I don't think that just applies to things that hold him back personally, but hold his ministry back as well. Things that get in the way of the ministry. And we tend to get in the way of the ministry. Me. How we dress. I know, I was in a session at one of the Black Church of God in Christ, and you know they got good religion. Did I say that right, Ron? I didn't say
that. Arm of God.
Let's not be so religious and spiritual. Come on.
What is he, you mean?
He's strong and tough.
Strong and tough. And the kind of person you want to make your king, your leader. The kind of person you... Your husband's here? The kind of person you want to marry. I didn't know what he looks like, so and just in case he wasn't. You know.
He had a sense of humor.
Yeah, Christ did have a sense of humor, but normally a person who have gone through these kind of experiences is pretty firm and direct and straightforward. But all of these nice little genteel and humanistic characteristics that we attribute to Christ, you know, that a person have gone through this don't seem to have. The other thing that tends to happen, when we are witnessing to people who are different from us, who've had different life experiences, and people who are second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, or even lower class citizens on a strata than you might be, their experiences in reference to the people on the higher levels of the strata that may not have been pleasant. When we take God from being above the angels and make him just a little lower than the angels, where who is? We are where man is. And put a human identity to God. And that human identity may be the oppressors in that person's eyes. What happens to your witnessing in your ministry?
It's ineffective.
The danger when we relegate God to a human stance by pulling out our Gideon Bibles that in the very first page have the same God that we described a few minutes ago. Oh, is this him? Everything is going smooth. Is this him? You know, distance, anger, hurt, hostility. And strangely enough, many of us are not aware where that the blocks are coming up, the reference of them. I've done everything right according to the book. I've shared, I've been open and honest. But most of the time, I have shared my image, my physical image of God, something that merely reinforces me, as opposed to what several of you shared in terms of the characteristics of God. And the Bible is full of the characteristics of God. Those things that we deem positive and those things that we deem what? Because God can be rather rough at times, very revengeful at times. And those are the things we need to be getting in touch with and sharing. Why? What does that do? It takes you out of the driving wheel. Now, I know, I'll pick on a few of the pastors that might be in the room. I know we tend to want numbers. The missionary and the witnessing group goes out, and the first question we ask them, how many got saved? How many of them came to Christ? How many of them attended Bible study? It's almost like in my field, we don't talk about quality of services. We talk about numbers. What message of Christ are we implanting in people? And how conscious are we aware of the growth process and assimilation process of all of the values that we know and attributes of Christ? How long did it take for us to assimilate this awareness and come to these marvelous expressions of who Christ is? And I guess each one of these tentacles that shoots out from this marvelous sunshine, all these rays that goes out, could be an attribute of God that draws us into his presence and makes us want to love and serve him. But when we put man in there and start counting numbers, when we put man in there and say he's white or he's black, it tends to take away from the God of the universe, all-powerful God. Now, many of us, I would dare to say, who have said that I'm really eclectic and broad in sharing my view of who God is, I would begin to challenge some of you on a personal basis. Because when we start talking about God, and I it was very clear to me when I opened my mouth as soon as I got here within the first hour on Monday, and I said, God, he. And the person that was talking to me said, what about God, she? Now, of course, that didn't faze me as far as God being a he. We all know that. Right? but for the benefit of discussion. For the benefit of discussion, if that's the person that I'm trying to get to assimilate the attributes and accept the love of God, and immediately I attach the he to it, what have I done? And actually, that is not necessary. Repeatedly, on our pamphlets, we give out, we have a picture. And depending on who we are, depending on where we had enough money to get the picture from, you know, because some of us are so poor, we get, if the narrative is good, we'll buy into the picture. And if the pamphlet is free and we get abundance of them, we'll give them out. But what is the picture saying? And we all know that a picture is worth what?
1,000 words.
And that's true. Ryan in the session this morning shared some pictures. And many of us who say that doesn't faze me will go out and buy a jacket exactly like that. And go out and buy shoes exactly like that. The Bachers are out. What is that? What kind of shoes are those? Red and Bachers, and how much they cost? No, come on. How many? I won't ask how many of you have them. You know. Average about $50. And every within 18 months, I guarantee you, the studies will show that they are harmful to your feet. You know why? There'll be a new player on the market, and we're going to sell some new ones. But we said, no, that doesn't faze me, but I need good shoes for walking up at Where am I? Holden Village. You know we got to go hiking, so I need a good pair. And that commercial start ringing in here. And you end up in Nordstrom's rather than Kmart. And they tell me, and in some of these stores, the same company make the same shoe. So if you are a wise, good Christian, you would shop. But basically what I'm saying is that the picture, just like it works on you, it works on the other fellow too. And anything, Paul says, I will take off every weight that does what? So easily beset me. And I don't think that just applies to things that hold him back personally, but hold his ministry back as well. Things that get in the way of the ministry. And we tend to get in the way of the ministry. Me. How we dress. I know, there's a session at one of the Black Church of God in Christ, and you know they got good religion. Did I say that right, Ron? I didn't say